Actually, under Assembly Rule 26, only credentialed members of the press are allowed to use recording devices in this chamber. Guests may not.
The rule that we have, you say that it affects constitutionally protected speech. I'm not an attorney either, but I know that the Supreme Court has long held that restrictions on freedom of speech in the time, the place, and the manner in which the speech takes place are completely legitimate. The time, the place, and the manner. No one is restricting anyone's right to come to the Capitol with a sign. But at certain places, there's a rule against that. It's not the right time, and it's not the right place, and that wouldn't be the right manner. It's completely legitimate, in my view, under the Wisconsin Constitution, Article 4, Section 8, where the Assembly gets to write their own rules, for the Assembly to write rules regulating the time, the place, and the manner of speech. And so I'm opposed to the resolution. It's not the right thing for the Assembly. Thank you.
Now I'd like to introduce Jim Miller. Jim, welcome to the Sarah Schell Show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let me...
And no problem with running over with Frank. I enjoyed hearing about the mining issue because one of the people that comes down quite often from that area is Barbara Witt, for helping us with the protests and our free speech issues in Madison, and she's been very active on the mine issue. So it was good that you had him speaking about that.
Yeah, that's a big thing up north, and every time he comes on, that's what we're going to discuss a little bit about, because all I hear from people up north is mine, mine, mine. So I want to keep talking about it. As long as they're talking about it, I'm talking about it. So.
Well, and down here in Madison, we're talking about our First Amendment rights of speech, and under the Wisconsin Constitution, our right to assemble and petition the government, and that's being trampled on right now.
Exactly. Well, let me give a really quick intro to Jim. He received a law degree from University of Wisconsin-Madison. Jim has a general practice of law with special interest in election law, public records, open meetings, constitutionally protected activities, will, probate, real estate, and mortgage, organizer of Team USA Mortgage. He's also director of Wisconsin Counts LTD, an educational organization working for election integrity, co-founder of and general counsel for Wisconsin Citizens for Election Protection. Also, that's on Facebook, and also at www.electionprotectionwisconsin.com, which is a group advocating hand counting of votes in order to prevent and detect election fraud. He's the founder of the Center of Direct Representation, an organization promoting direct representation as the alternative to winner takes all single representation district elections. He has also been Senate State Administrative Assistant, Senate Committee Clerk, Democratic candidate in the 57th Assembly District, and former chair and governor candidate for the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin. You have done a lot, Jim.
Well, thank you. I've been kind of busy, but there's a lot more to do.
Absolutely.
And I was doing some of that on the 17th of October. We went down to support Occupy Madison, and thinking they were going to be evicted, and they weren't. Then we went to the sing-along, and then we found out that Representative Mass was having a committee hearing for the Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee, trying to eliminate affirmative action in the admissions to the UW system. We were told that you couldn't have any signs. Could videotape, but can't have any signs. Well, I happened to be carrying a sign that recognizing the work of Ben Mazel, and on it had Article 1, Section 4 of the Wisconsin Constitution, the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to consult for the common good and to petition the government shall never be abridged. So I was holding that, and they announced no signs. I continued to hold that. The Sergeant at Arms came over and asked me to put the sign down, and I said I had a constitutional right to hold that and was not going to comply. They sent an officer of the Capitol Police over and asked the same question. It's a very, very polite individual. I asked him if there was anything he could say to have me put that down, and I said it was my constitutional right, and I thought it was important to exercise that constitutional right. They asked me to leave the meeting room, and then they handcuffed me and sat me in a chair for 15 minutes, and they wrote out a ticket. And the ticket they wrote out was for disorderly conduct, is what they said. And it's under Administrative Rule 2.14, subparagraph 2, subparagraph K. This is for behavior that an individual engages in violent, abusive, indecent, profane, boisterous, unreasonably loud, or otherwise disorderly conduct under circumstances where the conduct tends to cause or provoke a disturbance in public places or private areas in those buildings or facilities managed or leased by the Department of Administration. So that's the ticket I got. I don't think that holding a portion of the Constitution meets any of the definition. We'll be contesting that and taking it up through the court system. Hopefully we'll get an injunction to prevent these people from interfering with other people's constitutional rights to petition their government and to have their free speech. And holding a sign is a free speech issue. I heard your clip, the introduction clip of the representative from the 30th saying that they had the right to limit speech based on time, place, and manner. And I'm sure that's what they're going to do, but their laws in place presently are not sufficient. And I can tell you about a dismissal of action that occurred yesterday, if you'd like to hear about that.
I would definitely like to hear about. Before we do that, though, I want you to explain what's going on for people who haven't heard what's going on. Because
okay.
I don't know a lot of media that's actually talking about the arrests and the things that are going on in the Capitol. So give a little synopsis, and then you can go into dismissal.
I'll go back to right after the Occupy the Capitol occurred back in February and March, and there was a lawsuit to reopen the Capitol, and the unions that brought that suit got the Department of Administration to agree that they would not harass people who had signs on the ground floor and the first floor of the Capitol. Well, in the Capitol, the Assembly and the Senate and the Supreme Court are all on the second floor, and so we saw that as a movement to try to get take away the free speech area that area has always represented. People could always petition and use their free speech by holding signs in those areas in front of the Assembly and the Senate and the Supreme Court so they could get their message across to people. So we saw that as an effort to try to limit, restrict people's constitutional rights. And since then, we have had people holding signs in the rotunda, and they've taken some tickets, and we've gotten all those dismissed because the district attorney's office in Dean County has better things than to try to pursue people for their constitutional rights. So those tickets have all been dismissed. And some of the people, Jeremy and Jenna and Joe and Jason and a whole bunch of people have been willing to step forward, taken out of the room, be handcuffed. I don't know why they have to handcuff everybody, and they're handcuffing us behind our backs, which is a very, very uncomfortable position, but they're authoritarians trying to exert control over people and to get us to stop exercising our constitutional rights. But they've been taking tickets in the rotunda, and then we took tickets in some of the committee meetings, and they finally stopped for a while when the Senate chief clerk wrote a memo saying, hey, there's constitutional issues here, and you probably really shouldn't be trying to get people arrested or arresting people and ticketing them for peacefully holding a sign. So they stopped ticketing us for a while, but now after the recall elections, I think they have been emboldened by the fact that they are still in control of all three branches of our government. And now they're coming forward with this and saying, oh, yeah, we can limit the time, the place, and the manner in which you can exercise your free speech rights. And that's why they're ticketing us again. People have I was ticketed, and a number of people that same day were ticketed in that assembly meeting I talked about. And now they've also been ticketing people in the assembly and Senate galleries for peacefully and quietly holding signs, and also for videoing the activities. They don't want people to see what's really happening. They want everybody to rely on just the Wisconsin Eye broadcast, which is very limited and shows you only a small portion of the action. It doesn't show you the people smirking and the Democrats stand up and say, "Where, you know, this is a job, special job session. Where are your bills having to do with jobs?" When you're sit up in the gallery, you can see the Republicans kind of smirking. It was a big joke. They never had any intention to create jobs. They knew that jobs were an important issue to people. They said they were going to create jobs, and they said that just for the purpose of getting elected. But to get off the issue there, I'll let you ask the questions now.
Okay. Well, I was just going to let you go. I thought, okay, we'll just keep talking because it's important that people hear what's going on. Now, are constitutional issues an irritant to Walker, do you think? And do you think that Fitzgerald's handling in the do you think it's an irritant to Walker? And what do you think of the Fitzgerald's handling of the nonviolent protesters?
The these people are acting like authoritarians, and authoritarians believe that men rule, not the law should rule. And so the Constitution is very very inconvenient for them, and so they'll ignore it. We saw that when – and they ignore the laws. We saw that when they were ramming things through earlier, and then they got the short notice – inadequate notice under open meetings law for that one meeting where they were trying to eliminate collective bargaining that went through the court system, and a highly partisan Supreme Court by a 4-3 vote basically said that the legislature is not subject to the open meetings law, even though the law says that they are. And so when laws are inconvenient, they get a way around them. It was inconvenient that there were some limitations on corporations, and at the U.S. At the federal level, they got the Supreme Court to declare that corporations were people, so that they could spend unlimited amounts of money. At the state level, they've gotten rid of the limitations on the open meetings law for the legislature. And now, the way I see this coming, since they had backed away from ticketing people for holding their signs, expressing their First Amendment rights, and now they're talking. Now they're issuing tickets and talking about, oh yeah, we can limit these things. I think the fix is in. We know that they went and talked to Prosser and put pressure on Prosser to bring out the Supreme Court decision saying that the legislature is not subject to the open meetings law. There was that kind of pressure, and the pressure built up so much that Prosser went and put his hands on the neck of Justice Bradley, and unfortunately he hasn't been prosecuted for that. But I'm sure there's more conversation, and they've probably put the fix in. They know that if a case goes up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court on the issue of holding signs in the gallery of the assembly, that the four people put on that Supreme Court by the Wisconsin manufacturers in Congress, with all the big spending they did, they will vote to basically say, we don't have those constitutional rights anymore. They're just going to erase our rights. And that's one of the reasons I've been off and on talking also, that we shouldn't just limit our talk about recalls to the governor and certain legislators. We really need to talk about recalling some of the Supreme Court justices too.
Well, speaking of the Supreme Court justices, where do Crooks, Gableman, and Ziegler stand on free speech issues? Are they also pressured along with Prosser?
Crooks is kind of the swing guy. I mean, he went with Abramson and Bradley on the open meetings issue. He's a decent individual who will look at things. He's not been bought and paid for, from what I can tell. And but the other ones, Gableman and Prosser and Ziegler and Rogan Sack, they pretty much support the corporate agenda, from what I can tell.
Okay, and now I'm going to go back to the state statute, because I think you mentioned one of them, but the state statute says that people are allowed to silently videotape. The assembly rules say that you can't. And wasn't it Assembly Majority Leader Jeff Fitzgerald, who, by the way, is now running for U.S. Senate, who said that the assembly rules trump the state statutes? How does that work in court?
There again, you come down to the authoritarian attitude, like, we're in charge here. You know, and their attitude is, we get elected and it's a winner-take-all elections, and we now own the government, and we can do whatever we want with it. They see government as something to be owned and controlled as opposed to a service to the people, I think. So, and if they have the Supreme Court in their pocket, he might be right. But all the more reason for people to rise up and say, this is not right. They need to read the Constitution. They need to say that any injustice to one is injustice to all, and any taking away of any of our rights is a very, very serious thing, because rights go away and it's very hard to get them back. Unfortunately, in some of these things, Fitzgerald might be right, but I'm going to continue to put nearly, full time into opposing this, and we ask that other people show up at the Capitol. Next Tuesday, the Assembly is going to be in session again, and we're calling that Constitution Carry Day. We're encouraging people to show up, carry sections of the Constitution. Article 1, Section 4 talks about the right to assembly and petition the government. Article 1, Section 3 is free speech for the Wisconsin Constitution. Of course, the U.S. Constitution, the First Amendment, is the free speech issue. Joe, the Facebook individual that called Joe Biddy has really written some very good stuff. He was up in the Assembly Gallery wearing a necklace that was a picture of a cross, and it had a Bible passage on it, and it had love written on it. And they actually removed him from the gallery, handcuffed him, and wrote a ticket for him for displaying a sign. And so I know a number of people that are going to show up with more religious pictures and symbols on next Tuesday. And we're going to see if they will actually arrest and ticket people for holding pictures of Jesus.
That's nuts. I'm sorry.
Well, they would be. We're hoping that that people will wake up and see what the true character of these individuals are, they're just going to do whatever they can do and get away with, and they don't care if it's legal or not. That's not a restraint, because they understand that by the time they're caught, they will have accomplished what they wanted to do, and for the most part. For these types of crimes against the Constitution, there's inadequate remedies. They're not going to be adequately punished for having undermined our government and our culture. But that's the way it is.
Well, it's true. It is. Who is behind this? Is this the Walker Fitzgerald family? Are they the people trying to suppress the First Amendment rights?
Yes, and when you look, there's 27 new Republican assemblymen, and most of them were elected kind of as the Tea Party people with backings from the Koch brothers and the large corporations that have been financing all the right-wing and corporatist think tanks and supporting this organization called ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. And a lot of the legislation we're seeing is coming out of that council, and it's funded by large corporations and ultra-right-wing individuals for the purpose of getting rid of a lot of our constitutional rights. They're basically getting rid of the middle class in this country, and they're taking the approach that might makes right, not right makes might.
Well, I'm going to go back to Supreme Court for a moment. Now, there's talk or a rumor that Jim Sensenbrenner would like Crooks to retire and have the Fitzgerald brothers or Walker appoint Sensenbrenner to the state Supreme Court. What kind of justice would Sensenbrenner be?
Oh, jeez. I hadn't heard that. You've ruined my day.
I'm sorry. I promise when I come down to Madison, I'll buy you some coffee or something to make up for it.
Okay. That would be just appalling. We would lose the last moderate individual on our seven-person court. And, yes, in a vacancy, then the governor gets to appoint an interim individual who has to stand for election at the next spring election when there isn't another regularly scheduled Supreme Court race. So, the power of the incumbency, once somebody's in office, even if they just were appointed, and if there's big right-wing money behind them, that individual certainly could be reelected. But elected to those positions. But people just need to wake up, and they must have to realize that the right-wing agenda has been being implemented since Reagan's day. And when you look at what's happened, is that we've lost ground. The poor and middle class in this country have lost ground. A huge amount of wealth has and power has gravitated to the very top 0.2% of the 400 families that own more than half of the country. It's appalling, and it's changing the nature of America. Profoundly. So we've got to wake up and say they've been doing this sort of thing. They've been shipping jobs and money out of the country. They've been destroying our infrastructure. Basically, we've got to stop them.
And a little side note about the Sensenbrenner, just to let people know, if you haven't heard yet, Scott Fitzgerald is looking to run for a Sensenbrenner seat. So that's very possible that whole scenario might play out.
Oh, my.
Now, the Dems...
Scott and Fitzgerald in Congress and Jeff running for U.S. Senate.
I know. I guess it's a good thing they're focusing on that, because apparently they can't focus on that and do the sessions at the same time. That's why we only had three this month and one last month. So maybe if they keep focusing on stuff with their campaigns, they'll stop putting some of these crap bills through the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate. But one can only hope.
The appalling thing that I see when we go down there is they open for their session, and they have the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance and do all kinds of introductions, and that takes half hour to an hour. And then they immediately break and go into closed caucuses. So we got, 59 or 60 Republican assembly people. They go into a closed caucus in the Grand Army of the Republic Room up in the fourth floor north wing. They close the doors and they decide everything that's going to happen. So we've got – and they'll do whatever the majority of their caucus says to do, and they come out in lockstep. They vote that way for the most part. There's hardly ever a situation when they don't all vote as a block. And so there's really no meaningful debate that occurs on the Assembly and Senate floors. You have the Democrats making speeches, but you hardly ever have Republicans replying as to why they think the legislation is good legislation. They will just have someone speak minimally about it, and then they will vote. And they vote straight party lines. So we don't know what the reasons are for a lot of this legislation, unless we dig deeper. And then when you dig into it, you find a lot of the legislation, again, is coming from ALEC, which is the large corporations backing these things to create more wealth and power for themselves. On the floor the other night when they were considering the Assembly Resolution 17, which was brought by 28 of the Democrats, basically was going to acknowledge people's rights to their First Amendment capability of speech and holding signs and that. The Republicans voted that down. But Representative Hebel, a Democrat from Sun Prairie, made a speech, and he read something out of the Gulag Archipelago. and basically said that there was a meeting and someone mentioned Stalin and they all started applauding in the Soviet Union. And several minutes went by and they're all wondering, oh, how do we stop this sort of thing? And after 10 minutes of applauding, finally the manager of a local factory abruptly stopped and sat down. And everybody quickly stopped applauding Stalin and sat down also. And it turned out then a little bit later that the secret police were in the meeting, arrested, and sentenced to 10 years of hard labor, the guy that stopped clapping first. So Hebel was trying to make the point that they're all being forced basically to go along with things that they don't like, and that there's obviously fear on the part of the Republicans that if they don't comply, they're going to have a Tea Party or go after them in a primary, and they're going to lose their jobs. But they're selling us out just in order to protect their jobs, and it's not unlike the fear that occurred back in the Soviet Union. And it wasn't permissible to stop clapping for Stalin. If you did, there are consequences if you were the first. And
well,
it was moving, very moving to hear him read those passages and to think about what's happening in our government.
And with that, Jim, I'm going to have to end it here. I'd like you to come back on next week so you can let us know what happened with the assembly and the religious photos.
I'm very happy to talk to you again. I really appreciate your having this show, and I'm glad you found me, and now I found your show. So.
Yes, well, thank you so much for being on, Jim.
We passed it along, and hopefully you've got a lot of listeners this morning.
Well, if nothing else, I'll podcast it later, and we'll get even more, because we really need to keep talking about what's going on, because it starts small, but it gets bigger. So,
thank you very much. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. You too, Jim. That was Jim Miller. He is a lawyer out of Madison.